Where's Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So it's January 24th, 2022, in Hillsborough, North Carolina. Today is the disappearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. And we're also going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam just briefly, and then we're going to do a meditation on Paramakona of Lochan Das Thakur. So we're going to read, we would be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, Text 15, from Gopi Gita. And we are going to read that verse, in fact, but we're going to read it from Adi Lila Chapter 4, 152, which is exactly the same verse, because here we have Srila Prabhupada's translation. And what I found fascinating is that this verse is not in Krishna book. So this chapter in Krishna book ends at text 14. Now, the original printing of Krishna book had a big chunk of 10th canto, chapter 32, in chapter 31. So the current edition ends chapter 31 in Krishna book at about the same place that chapter 31 ends in the Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada does not put 15 through 19 in Krishna book. Now, we don't know. We have the Prabhupada dictating Krishna book tapes. It's some of the few dictation tapes that we have, and the reason we have those is Jadarani liked to listen to them while she painted. And so those tapes were not... Normally Prabhupada would dictate, they would be transcribed, and the tapes would be returned to Prabhupada, and he would dictate over them. Somebody wasn't thinking about posterity. Somebody was just thinking about being thrifty instead of legacy. And imagine if we had kept all of those dictation tapes from all of the books. But anyway, somehow among the ones that Jadarani kept, some were missing. And it's interesting that the majority of the five Rasalila chapters are missing. They're just not there. So we do not have this dictation tape. Therefore, we don't know, did Srila Prabhupada indeed dictate verses 15 through 19 for the original Krishna book, and somehow they're not there. One reason I have that as a guess is that there's some repetition in these verses, and so it could be that the transcribers thought that Prabhupada was just repeating himself, and so cut out those verses. That's a possibility, and we will never know the mystery to that. Now, what's interesting, although these are not in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada refers to text 15 and text 19 frequently. So when we hear today's verse, we're going to say, oh yeah, I know that. Prabhupada talks about it all the time. So it's quite interesting that it's not in Krishna book, but it's something that Srila Prabhupada refers to all the time. And this is the verse about that fool, Jada, the fool who created our eyelids. Right? You all know that, right? Yeah. Everybody knows that, and yet it's not in Krishna book.
All right. What is the verse in CC again?
It's Adi 4:152. I was looking through to find all the places where Srila Prabhupada referred to this verse, and then I found, oh, it's actually quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the CC. And there's no purport in the BBT edition, and similarly there's practically no purport here, so we're just going to look very briefly at a couple points in the Acharya's commentaries, and then we're going to segue from here to Paramakarna, because, boy, is there a nice segue from this meditation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right, I'm going to try to follow in the footsteps of my daughter and sing this the way she sang the verse on Friday. So, Champuk, if you're listening, please give me your Shakti that I can do this. Okay. And she was mentioning that it's the Gopi Gita and therefore it should be sung, so we're going to try to sing it like that. Okay. Although I can't sing nearly as sweetly as she does. Atitiyad Bhavan Anikananam. Chuchiryugayate Twam Apashyatam. Kutila Kuntalam Shrimukam Chate. Jada Utikshatam Pakshma Kritrisham. Atati goes, yat, when, bhavan, your lordship, ani, in the day, kananam, to the forest, truttihi, half a second, yugayate, appears like a yuga, twam, you, apasyatam, of those not seen, Kutila Kuntanam, adorned with curled hair, Shrimukam, beautiful face, Cha, and Te, your Jedaha, stupid, Udikshatam, looking at Pash. Pakshmakrit, the maker of eyelashes. Drisham, of the eyes. By the way, I don't suggest any of us call Lord Brahma stupid. Please don't try that at home. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The gopi said, O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hair, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us, and we consider the Creator who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you to be simply a fool. Jada literally means like a stone, and Prabhupada's only purport is that this is from 10:31:15. So we're going to look just briefly. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary. And he says, since it is impossible to tolerate the time of suffering, a moment feels like a yuga. Not seeing you for a long time is intolerable. Therefore, quickly reveal yourself. All the people of Raja cannot see you when you go to the forest, what to speak of us. And when we do see your beautiful face with curling locks of hair, what to speak of others, do so with eyes having eyelids. Thus, even seeing you is faulty. So the point here, I'm just going to read that part. So the point here is that both with Krishna and without Krishna is miserable. And this is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'm just going to read the last paragraph. Those who are intelligent would cut off their eyelids so that they could see Krishna continuously. Being unintelligent, we gopis cannot do that. Okay. Atitiyad bhavan anikaranam. Yatitiyad bhavan anikaranam. Chuti yugayate twam apashyatam. Kuti lavandalam shimukam chate. Jara udikshatam pashmikriptisham. Oops, right there. O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hair, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us. And we consider the Creator who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you to be simply a fool. So this is one of the symptoms of the level of love called sneha. Of course, the gopis are way beyond sneha, but it is included. And that is that one cannot tolerate a moment's separation from Krishna, whereas conditioned souls like me, I don't even notice. Right, like one time the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, sometimes we fall into Maya. Prabhupada says, no, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So I'm going through my day not remembering Krishna, and I don't even notice. Every once in a while I notice, oh yeah, I need to think about Krishna. Whereas for those, at least on the platform of sneha, even 1/1,000,000th of a second, half a second, without Krishna, they feel as if it's a yuga. I mean, we have some idea of this in this world. When I'm doing something I enjoy, time passes very quickly, isn't it? And when I'm doing something I don't enjoy or I'm waiting, time passes very slowly. My perception of time changes. So there's something equivalent, even in a world where there is no time, where time is conspicuous by its absence, still there's some sense of this. So of course, this verse of the gopis that they can't tolerate even blinking, which again, I don't even notice that I'm blinking. I don't have a conscious perception of that. It reminds us, of course, of what verse of the Shikshastika? Kamishena, we can all say it together. Chakrisha Prasayitam. So Virahena is without you. Right? And that Mahaprabhu is saying that without you, the world is vacant and a moment appears like a yuga. And Prabhupada talks about this as divine illusion, which is one of the vyavichari bhavas, a kind of madness, that it's madness to see a vacant world. It's madness to think that a fraction of a second is a yuga, but this is indicators of love. So, because this is the disappearance day of Lochandas Thakur, I wanted to meditate on one of my favorite songs of Lochandas Thakur, which is about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because our way of entering into any understanding of the mood of the gopis is through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Gornitai. We cannot possibly understand this mood of the gopis. Again, in my material experience, this doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I've been, quote-unquote, in love with people in this life, but I never felt that if I blinked my eyes, I was going to die. Or if they were away from me for a half a second, that it was... I've never had that. I don't have an experience I can relate to on that level of love with my material attachments. So how am I going to understand this intense sneha? Again, the gopis are far above sneha, but how am I going to understand this mood of the gopis? So I can only approach it through Srila Prabhupada and through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and of course we understand them through Srila Prabhupada and through our acharyas like Lochandas Thakur. This is how we can get, and Prabhupada said if we can understand this and imbibe this even to a minute degree, that our life becomes successful and we can enter into the spiritual worlds. I find that very enlivening, that if I can get this even to a tiny minute. All right, let's hope that this setup we did with Jagat Guru Prabhu yesterday works. May the technology gods be kind upon us. Well, he turned the volume down a little lower than I would have liked. So, Parama Korana Pabudvi Jana Nitai Gora Chandra. And these two lords, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they are very, very merciful. So, this is a picture of the 21 hour ecstasy when Mahaprabhu was giving any benediction to anyone that they wanted. What would you like? What would you like? What would you like? Right? And this, of course, is the time of that famous pastime with Mukunda, where Mahaprabhu said, in 10 million lifetimes, you can see me. And Mukunda was like, yes! Yes, I can see you at some time. So this is, again, some indication of this. If I have some hope of seeing you, that time passes very quickly, I know I'm going to see you. And hopefully those of you watching on the internet can hear the sound from this. We hopefully had it all set up. So Shiromani, Shiro means head, Mani means jewel. So these incarnations of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they are the topmost jewel of all avatars. Indeed, they are Krishna and Balaram, they are avatari. And Mahaprabhu demonstrated this to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when he showed him Sadbhuj, his six-armed form. He showed him, I am Mahaprabhu, I am Krishna, I am Lord Ramachandra, I am Krishna, I am Vishnu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking the Lord was some extraordinary sannyasi. Right? People may think Abhijananti Mamudha, Krishna's just an ordinary person or a little bit of a special person. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking like that, and I have to teach him Vedanta, otherwise, you know, he's this young, beautiful man, he's not going to make it as a sannyasi. And then the Lord showed him, actually, I am Krishna, I am Vishnu. And to Ramananda Roya, he showed, I am Radha Krishna. I am Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the essence of all incarnations. And we were talking about yesterday in our hermeneutics class with Krishna Kshetra Maharaj about that people sometimes in looking at the scriptures want to come up with one absolute answer for everything, which may sometimes be the case, especially if we're looking at statements of Siddhanta, statements that are universal, eternal, and transcontextual. But more often, one comes up with a plurality of acceptable meanings. And as one studies the Shastra more and more, one gets deeper and deeper and fresher meanings. So the question was raised, as it usually is in such discussions. But if Krishna is the absolute truth, shouldn't there be one absolute meaning? And of course, our conclusion is that Krishna, the absolute truth, is a person. And a person has multi-dimensions, can be understood in as many ways as there are people to understand that person. Just like each of us is understood somewhat differently by everyone that we know. And that Krishna is always expanding himself. And as he expands himself, his knowledge of himself expands. So Krishna is always learning more about himself because there's always more to learn about himself. And this unfolding of mystery is very pleasing to the Lord. In fact, Krishna is always learning more and more about us as well. He finds us fascinating. And Krishna is always learning more and more about his internal energy. Some weeks ago, I can't remember who I was talking to, somebody, about that men find women inscrutable. And I said, this is true even for the Lord. So the Lord finds Srimati Radharani inscrutable. And eternally, he's trying to understand her through the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this mood, he is the highest of all incarnations. And this process is simply joyful. Just recently I was hearing Srila Prabhupada say the prime symptom of being a devotee, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, is that one is joyful. Now, of course, in the spiritual life, there are different emotions which may appear to be not joyful. There is self-disparagement, there is illusion and madness, there is lamentation. Rupa Goswami in the Southern Ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, some of the secondary rasas, they may appear to be not joyful, like grief and fear and disgust. But these things are actually ecstatic. Even the ghastly rasa, when those in love of God are saying, "Oh, this material body is disgusting," they're experiencing ecstasy saying that, because they're experiencing that in relation to their love for Krishna. So our experience of Krishna consciousness should be joyful, and if it's not joyful, with a variety of joyful emotions, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Like Prabhupada said, if we're eating and we're not getting nourished, then either we're not eating or we have parasites. So if we're engaged in Krishna consciousness and we're not feeling joyfully nourished, either we're not really in Krishna consciousness, we're in something, some abhas, something that looks like Krishna consciousness but is not, or we're committing some offenses that are pulling away the nourishment. Therefore, my dear brothers, please worship Gaur-Nitai. Now, brothers here doesn't mean it excludes half of the human race. Just like we may say, "Come on, guys," and we mean all the human beings, we don't just mean the males. So the word "bhai" is used like that. So all of us, please, we should worship who's giving such a joyful process, who's the head of all incarnations. And how should we worship? So Vishvasa is faith. So we should worship with firm sudrida. Dhrida means very firm, to hold. So we should be holding this faith that yes, we can understand. We can understand about Krishna. We can understand about the mood of the gopis to a minute degree. We can experience this joyfulness if we just worship Gaur-Nitai. Is there a caveat? Yes, there's a caveat. Right, Maharaj was talking about how in the university so many people have these so-called gurus who tell them you can do whatever you want, right? And Prabhupada didn't say you can do whatever you want. He said no illicit sex, no eating meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no gambling. Which was a radical thing to say to his original disciples in 1965-66. The whole counterculture was based on illicit sex and intoxication, and meat eating was pervasive. I mean, now we're finding more and more people are becoming vegetarian or vegan, but at that time, that was practically speaking unheard of. In the 60s, very few people were giving up meat, fish, and eggs. So one has to give up sense gratification. Here we have Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. So it's not that each of us have to formally take sannyas, but we should have this internal mood, at least, of sannyas. That my body belongs to the Lord, my mind belongs to the Lord, my possession belongs to the Lord. Everything should be done for His pleasure. And then, if that's the negative, what about the positive? So the positive is we just chant the holy name of the Lord. Maharaj was talking about this yesterday. He was saying how, of course, one time chanting will purify us. Actually, when I got second initiation from Srila Prabhupada in Philadelphia in 75, Prabhupada was giving a lecture on Ajamila, and the devotee reading the verse in purport was reading from a manuscript. And he said, then Ajamila cried out, "Narayana, Narayana, Narayana." And Prabhupada said, "Why three times?" He said, "This is a mistake. You need to fix this." He said, "One time is sufficient, Narayana." So we have these statements we were also discussing in our hermeneutics class. We were doing a little role play that someone may have a doubt, Yani Kani Chapupani, that at just walking around Tulsi, one will become free from the reactions to the sin of killing a brahmana One may think this is hyperbole. So similarly, one may think this is hyperbole, just one time. Krishna, one time Narayana is sufficient. But if one has no motive, if one is calling to the Lord in love, then yes, one time is sufficient. Or even for Ajamila, it was Namabash. It was sufficient at least to liberate him and to start him in bhakti. Of course, if we have a motive, just like we go to the shops in Lloyd Bazaar, and as we walk down the street, people are going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But we know that what they are actually saying is, give me your money, give me your money. Right? We're intelligent enough to figure that out. Yes? So Krishna is also intelligent enough to figure out if we are saying, Hare Krishna, please give me this, please give me that. Of course, as Maharaj was saying, better to be honest if we have material desires. But we should honestly regret that also. My dear Lord, I'm calling to you asking just to find a compatible wife like Cardinal Mooney. So I'm better to go to you for a compatible wife. But I'm sorry I'm asking you for that. I'm not on the level of your devotees. Please make me on the level of your devotees. And just see Cardinal Mooney, although he did that, he got the Lord as his son. To chant without any motive, just calling for the Lord, please engage me in your service. I have so many desires. I want good health. I want money. I want a compatible spouse. I want nice children. Someone called me the other day. Oh, Ramila, what can I do to get a good child? You know, I want this. I want that. I want the other thing. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't really want to live out on the street eating out of a garbage can in poverty in a wheelchair. I must admit, I like that my room is heated. I like that. I'm happy for that. I like to be able to eat nice food, you know. I have to admit. Right, there is this man in Vrindavan, we would see, he's passed away now. But for like 13 years, he was living on the road by the Krishna Balaram tree. And he was just living by the side of the road, naked. People would give him a blanket, he always had a blanket. And they would feed him in summer or winter. So, you know, if Krishna said to me, Urmila, I want you to live with the side of the road with only a blanket, I'd go, no! Give me my room with a heater and hot water. But although I have these, what can I say? And I'm terrified. If I get dementia, how will I preach the scriptures? I'm useless. So I have these desires. But still, Krishna, in spite of all these desires, please engage me in your service. I'm so embarrassed with all of these foolish desires. And in that mood, we can chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We see there's nobody like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda because so even if I'm like an animal, still I may cry in the kirtan and reading the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Now, Prabhupada said we may not be able to get the animals to chant, but at least we can get the people to chant. And you can say, well, I'm not even at the level of an animal. I'm just at the level of a stone. But even a stone can melt, or a stone-like heart can melt, an ice-like heart can melt. Why? Just hearing their glories, our heart can melt. Oh, but oh no. Hope you like my little pictures there. So I'm entrapped in the materialistic sense gratification process. I fall there, I remain there. This is old picture. Mahaprabhu's lotus feet installed at Shankhakund by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. I have no attraction.
Aparna karma
So Lochana Das says, I have no hope. Maharaj Pratyaparudra also may have thought, I have no hope, but somehow he got to see Mahaprabhu. Parama Purana Pahadvi Jana Nitya Gora Chanda Sava Avatar Sada Shiva Mani Kevala Ananda Kanda Bajo 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 Chaitanya Nita Suri Raga Shwasa Kori Vishaya Chaya Se Rase Madhya Bukhe Pungo Hari Hari Deka Ore Bhai Dri Bhubane Nahe Imuna Dora Vadhata Pashu Paki Jive Pasana Vihare Shri Janana Guna Gata Sansare Madhya Rohili Poya Se Pade Nahi Lo Ashra Apana karma bhundraye shamana kahoe lochana das. Lochana das ki jai shubhapad ki jai. So we have just a few minutes if anybody has questions, comments, additions, subtractions, chastisements. Yes, Maharaj.
Can you elaborate on the difference between lamentation when one recognizes one's contamination and guilt?
Ah, very nice question. What's the difference between lamentation, where you recognize how fallen you are, and guilt that causes you to become depressed? The former is ecstatic. There's a sense of joy in it, and it's connected with loving Krishna. It's an intensity of joy that's like chutney. It's very spicy and you don't think you can tolerate it, but it's so sweet you don't want it to end. Whereas guilt just makes you feel dirty and withdrawn and yucky and like you want to hide from the world, or like you just, it's a completely different subjective experience. So material guilt is a contraction, and the ghastly rasa is an expansion. The ghastly rasa is also a vulnerability to Krishna. In guilt, you want to hide. You want to hide from yourself. You want to hide from others. There's this guilt is usually also associated with shame. But in the ghastly rasa, you're bearing your reality before the Lord. One way you could think of it is in a mundane, loving relationship, if we have guilt about something in relation to someone we love, we usually try to hide our fault. And again, we often feel some shame about it. But let's say we go to the person that we love, we realize that something has been blocking our loving relationship, and we actually become vulnerable, and we say to this person, my dear friend, my dear child, my dear parent, my dear spouse, whatever it be, my dear master, I have been blocking my relationship with you because of this fault of mine, and I'm so sorry. I want a loving relationship with you, but I have this problem. And if you can picture yourself, if you've ever done this, or if anyone has ever done it with you, the mental picture I get is you sit down on a sofa with your friend, and you say to your friend, I'm so sorry, I have hurt you, I have been selfish, and they put their arm around you and say, it's okay, I love you. And there's this mixture of the love of this person and your intense feeling of having wronged them, but it's part of a reconciliation. And guilt is very isolating. It's very me-focused. It's very false ego-focused. And the Ghastly Rasa is very love-focused, and it's very Krishna-focused, and it's incredibly, incredibly sweet.
Where does Ashwagandha fall? How is that connected?
How is it connected to Ashwagandha? That although I am so fallen still, you still love me. You are still merciful to me. You are still going to help me. On my own, I have no hope, but out of your mercy, I have some hope only because you are so merciful. Is that all right?